The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. We are here to put to rest the 2018 Indiana football season after they fell to Purdue 28-21 in disappointing fashion. So we'll touch upon all of that, get some quick thoughts on the 2019 schedule. And then we'll let people go on their merry way, enjoy bowl season, football season, and everything in between before IU kicks off the season in 2019, I believe on September 1st at Lucas Oil Stadium against Ball State. TJ, welcome into the show. How are you?
Yeah, doing perfectly well. Of course, from a football standpoint, sad that the Indiana season came to an end. It's something you and I, thoroughly enjoy, and to have it come to another, end, especially with a loss to Purdue in the bucket game, is certainly not something that we enjoy at all. So that part of it, very, very bad, and the weather is not helping matters, but overall, doing perfectly fine and ready to, I guess, kind of, as you mentioned previously, before this game on our last show, you mentioned that we kind of have an Irish wake here for this season, and I guess that's what we have to go about doing now. Unfortunately, we're here in good or bad.
Yep, time to pour one out for the departed. But this year, let's talk about the game first, and then we'll talk about the year. This is a game I thought, being on for pregame, I thought IU had the energy. They were saying all the right things during the week. They got a really great crowd that came and announced attendance of 48,000. It was every bit of 48,000 there as well. So good on the IU athletic department there. For doing that 2-for-1 promotion. Maybe they learned from that and realized that, hey, if we lower ticket prices, people will show up, especially with something on the line. One thing I do want to say is that IU owes fans an apology for those sitting up, I believe, on the east side of the stadium in the upper part, and there were goose droppings or what looked like goose droppings all over the bleachers up there that weren't clean. So I do believe IU owes those fans an apology and some sort of compensation, because that's unacceptable. You build this brand, the brand new end of the stadium, and late in the year, I know most of the year nobody's sitting up there, but you gotta clean that. You gotta pay somebody. Whoever your game ops, stadium ops people are, you got to pay them, make sure they do the right job, and make sure that your stadium is welcoming to everybody who goes there, because they're getting roasted on social media for that, and rightfully so. So hopefully IU fixes that. Hopefully it will never happen again. These are the little things that good programs have taken care of. And we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but these are the things that IU has to do so that this athletic department and the program can focus on just winning, winning football games and winning on the field. But other than that, as far as the game goes, it was a great crowd. It's an energetic crowd, and it was, an engaged crowd throughout the entire game, which is pretty cool to see. But Indiana reverted back to where they were early in the season, where we saw that they didn't take many deep shots downfield. They dinked and dunked. There was no sense of urgency on offense. They ran the ball well with Stevie Scott, and that's about it. So it was very frustrating because what worked later in the season, what gave him a shot in some of these games, was throwing the ball downfield, and we didn't see that. And it just reaffirms that some changes need to be made on the offensive side of the ball, via Pinnell, on the field and off the field as well. So that to me was the biggest disappointment, falling behind 21-7. And as you know, Rondale Moore was going to get his. They just needed to limit him to those two big touchdowns. You know, it's like having a LeBron on your team. He's going to score 25 points and grab 8 rebounds and have 7 assists. You just hope that you could spread it out. They're not big baskets and things like that. But Rondale Moore, tremendous player. He was fun to watch down on field level. If he played for anybody other than Purdue, I would have a lot more joy watching him. But a 56-yard touchdown pass, a 33-yard touchdown pass, and then he had to be accounted for all day. You saw guys trailing him all day as well. And then Markell Jones put the dagger in IU with a 32-yard touchdown run. A guy who is from Columbus, Indiana, probably wanted an IU offer, wanted to play for IU, stuck it to him again, and those are the big things that come in play in in-state rivalry games. It's guys who feel slighted, guys who have an axe to grind, who go out there and give 110% and make the other team pay. And Purdue had more of that all day. I thought that David Blau was fantastic, doing everything he did, throwing for, I believe, 310 yards. Completed 27 of 35 passes, and you know, outside of the crazy Mike Barwick interception where he just stuck his hand up and happened to catch it, he was outstanding. And that's the difference between IU and Purdue right now, was the quarterback play, the big explosive plays, and all that stuff. But offensively, Indiana was disappointing. Defensively, IU did not create the takeaways they needed. To that all year, they gave up too many big plays. Even though IU had more yards, 440 yards, they gave up 6.5 yards per play. Again, they gave up too many yards on first down, didn't get enough tackles for losses and things like that. And outside of the 5 sacks, which is terrific, Blau had a clean pocket for most of the day. And receivers were getting open, and it's just, you hope that these are growing pains, that IU could come over. And then special teams, you had Logan Justice miss the field goal at the end of the half, which I thought was huge. If you go into the halftime at 14-10, have a chance for a 2-1 or 2-for-1 deal, getting the ball after half, you got all that momentum, and maybe that changes the game. And then you got nothing out of anybody else. Hayden Whitehead had a solid day. But other than that, no kick returns, no punt returns, no big plays, blocking kicks or things like that. And you just, if you're Indiana, you cannot win that way. So that's my take on Purdue, on the Purdue game. Anything to add, TJ?
No, I think that you mentioned Indiana ends up with more yards than Purdue, and that's an example of two things. Number one, that Indiana was not that far off, but number two, and more importantly, numbers can certainly lie, and that's a very good example of numbers lying. You can look at the box score and say, oh, wow, Indiana, was right there, and had more yards than Purdue, and that's true in one sense. I mean, you can't make the numbers, they are what they are, but it's also not reality to say that Indiana was the better offensive team because they had more yards or anything close to that. So I think you do have to kind of look at it with realistic eyes and say certainly issues on both sides of the ball. But for me, the much much bigger argument is to be made that the offense just needs an overhaul, I would say. You know, you look at college football right now, and the top four teams in yards per play, if the playoff were to be selected today, you know, four of those five are coming from that top four. You'd have Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, and then, you know, your fourth one is going to be, I think it's Georgia. It might be Notre Dame. I'm not sure which one is fourth there. But it's absolutely critical. And Indiana's nowhere near where they need to be to get themselves into being a consistent six or seven win program. You know, I'm not expecting an Alabama or an Oklahoma type of program. That's foolish. But, you know, it shows you those teams have developed offensively to be elite. You know, Alabama is very good on defense, but what makes them darn near unbeatable this season is their offense. You know, you can score on that defense. It's very, very good, but you can score on it. You know, a really good offense can put up points on them. And what we've seen is that Nick Saban has adjusted his strategy and his game plan to fit today's college football. They take risks. They take lots of shots down the field. And their yards per play is at a very high clip. What Indiana has is right now a quarterback that cannot make those type of throws. You know, Tua Tagovailoa is not going to play for Indiana. We get that. And to expect that is unrealistic. However, Indiana has got to get a quarterback to accentuate the skill players that they have, because I think the skill players are pretty good. Or an offensive scheme or an offensive mindset, however you want to put it, that is willing to consistently put the ball downfield and get the ball into the playmakers' hands in positions where they can make big things happen. And what we saw on Saturday was far too conservative, far too passive of play calling until the game had ultimately, you know, really for all intents and purposes, been decided. We saw Indiana take some shots down the field, but it was not until the game was really no longer in question, and it would have taken a miracle for Indiana to pull it out. And that's happened too many times. It happening against Minnesota. Indiana didn't get aggressive until later and almost pulled that out. And it didn't happen. It's happened against Purdue as well. And ultimately it cost Indiana a bowl bid.
Yeah. And I made the comparison. My grades are coming out, next couple of days. I've got about 6,000 words on the season, so bear with me with those grades coming out. But one of the lines I put in there is that Indiana's offense is like Kobe Bryant in basketball. It's a volume scorer in terms of it. IU finished third in the league in passing yard, total passing yards, behind Ohio State and Purdue, but they finished 10th. In yards per pass and yards per attempt. And that's just saying, you know, it's taking too long to get the ball downfield. You're relying on those 10 play, 12 play, 75 yard drives, especially with no kick return, to get the ball past the 25. You know, you're relying on, and then it has to be perfect. You have to execute really well. And IU didn't do that all year. And, you know, I think I saw some people put no blame on Peyton Ramsey, saying that, you know, his teammates have to pick him up and his coaches have to pick him up. But many times this season, I saw guys running wide open downfield that he didn't throw the ball to and things like that. So, you know, there is plenty of blame to go around to everybody. It's not just Mike the Board. It's not just Peyton Ramsey. It's not the receivers who dropped a few balls. It's not the offensive line. It's everybody needed to be better. You know, the play calling needed to be better. But when guys are running a wide open downfield, you got to get your playmakers the ball. You also got to realize, hey, these 5-yard passes aren't working because our quarterback can't get it there fast enough for them to make a play. Instead, you get hit for a 4-yard gain. Instead of getting the ball there, have the guy turn around, make a juke move, and get upfield and a play that's designed, if the ball gets there in time, to get between 8 and 12 yards, instead gets 5 yards. And so there's plenty of blame to go around. It's something that, you hope that they evolved the offense or adapted the offense to what they had, and they didn't do that. So plenty of blame goes on the offensive coordinator, but plenty of blame goes on the personnel. Guys are running wide open downfield. You have to throw the ball. It shouldn't take your head coach in the last quarter of the season to go, hey, throw the ball downfield. We're going to make it a point to do this. That's something that maybe should take a few games. So it's frustrating because IU's receivers are really, really good. I said at the beginning of the season that they could be sneaky good. Well, they were really good. Donovan Hale had a breakout season. He was underused. Nick Westbrook for the first 2/3 or first half of the season was underused. Ty Freifogel had a breakout year. I thought he played really well. Lucian was banged up a little bit, but he was a reliable receiver. Jayshon Harris came on. It was unfortunate that Wap Fillier couldn't play healthy outside of those first, three games, and then he got hurt against Michigan State. But he's the guy who they need in this offense if you're going to run those 5-yard slants. But the danger with those plays is you're going to get banged up. And things like that. So we'll see what they do. It's a change that needs to be made. I don't know when they're going to make it. The coaching carousel is in full speed ahead. We saw a lot of people lose their jobs on Black Sunday, and we'll see. We'll see where people land, how it shakes out, and things like that. But in this offense, it's not blamed on one sole person, and it shouldn't be. It's blame is all around. And when Peyton Ramsey got the ball to receivers, they have to make catches. They did drop some plays where a catch was critical and things like that. But overall, it's just a weird season, a disappointing season in terms of not getting to a bowl game, the way the offense performed, the step back that the defense took, even though it's a young defense and they created 26 takeaways, it was a step back. The lack of anything on special teams was infuriating. Logan Justice was great this year, but outside of that and a Jayshon had punt return, they did nothing, if anything at all, was nothing. And it is just, a lot of, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And it feels like they left a lot on the field in terms of creativity, play calling. They essentially wasted Reese Taylor's freshman year and things like that. So going forward, it's a big offseason for Indiana football. It's going to be a busy offseason for Indiana football. There are changes that have to be made. As tough as the decision it is for a head coach to do that, there are changes that have to be made, and it's obvious. So if Tom Allen is going to grow into the position, these are changes that a head coach has to make. And, it sucks if you're friends with them. It sucks at any job if you have to let your friends go and let people you like go. We've all had to do it, but that's the way life works. And if you want to become that program that goes to bowls consistently, and TJ, I don't know if I mentioned it to you and some other people, but if you look at these teams that go to bowls consistently, the average 4-year player has 60 more practices than the average 4-year player at IU if they don't go to a bowl game.
Yep.
And that adds up. And they've been going to bowl games after bowl games after bowl games. You look like a team at like Northwestern, who's been to now 3 bowls in a row. And IU has been to 1. So that's 30 extra practices that Northwestern has. Now, Northwestern and IU probably have similar athletes coming in. But what do they have? They have 30 extra practices to get young guys reps, to time with coaches, on the field and things like that. So people who say, well, it would only be 6-6 and we want better than 6-6. Well, you got to start at 6-6 and then you could develop players over time. And then 6-6 becomes kind of the average year. And after that, then you could start talking about 7 wins and 8 wins. And there's a lot of things that have to go right for IU to get 8 wins. Looking at the schedule next year, they have 3 non-conference games, which they should have won. They open up against Ball State. They play Eastern Illinois. And they play UConn, who I think was the worst defense of all time. I think you mentioned that, TJ. But
statistically, it is, yes. Yep, or was, I should say.
And then you have, you have the Big Four next year. You have Ohio State and Michigan coming in, and you're at Penn State and Michigan State. So the two of the more winnable games of those four are on the road. Then you have to go to Nebraska. You got Northwestern coming in, and you got to go to Purdue. That leaves you with Maryland and Rutgers as teams that you absolutely have to beat to get to a bowl game. So people who are complaining, well, why do they wait to the last game to need 6? Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And the 9-game conference schedule hurts. The draw out of the West next year hurts and all that stuff. So those are just my quick thoughts on IU's going forward. Do you have any quick thoughts, TJ?
I think that we will do, off-season analysis, and certainly if there are staff changes, we'll discuss all those. I do think that there are a couple that just are imperative to be addressed. The first is offensive coordinator. The second is special teams. Those positions just did not perform well enough. They just didn't. And if you are, as you mentioned, the head coach has to make decisions one way or the other. Get a decision to change, then you have to hire the right guys. And if those guys perform, then you're rewarded accordingly. If you choose to keep the staff in place in favor of continuity, well, you can make that decision. But if things do not go right next season, well, at that point, you've made a choice that could haunt you in terms of your job security as the person in charge. And that's, fair or not, that is the business of college football. And while Indiana is not a, quote, huge big-time program, it is a Big Ten program that has to operate by those standards as well. And at that point, it will not necessarily matter how great of a guy Tom Allen is and how much, we or anyone else loves him and roots for him to succeed. So decisions have to be made, and then you've got to hire the right people and help them succeed so that your program can succeed. And now, again, if or when those things occur, changes that we are, I guess you'd say advocating for, based on results on the field and nothing more than that, we will certainly cover them accordingly. For now, I think you just have to go by the personnel. And for me, there's, I think, just a couple of, obvious things need to be said. Stevie Scott, I thought, certainly had a freshman season to remember. I thought he was better than could be expected, game in and game out. He was a consistent force for Indiana, and you look forward, to that and the career he could have. You build on that guy that you say, okay, that's a cornerstone piece of our program moving forward. I think you look at your receivers and you're excited about them and say, okay, that's a cornerstone that we can have as an offense. I think you look at your defense and you say, all right, we played a ton of young guys. We love the recruits coming in. We love the redshirt guys coming back, and we love the freshmen and sophomores that got experience this year. Indiana's defense on paper, we can only say this on paper for now. Indiana's defense on paper should be better at nearly every level next season And in some levels, you know, they could be significantly better based on experience and talent coming back. That's something they didn't have this year with that experience, and that plays a huge part in success in college football. And then special teams, you know, beyond Logan Justice and Hayden Whitehead, the guys are there. Coverage units and your explosiveness on returns, it just has to improve. 100% improvement. I mean, there just has to be a 180 based on what we saw this year. And then really what it comes down to for me, none of this matters. None of it matters. Everything else could be improved and could go great. If Indiana does not have a difference-making quarterback, nothing matters. They have a capped ceiling in which they will – look, they'll beat Eastern Illinois, Connecticut, and Ball State. They should beat them pretty handily by just rolling out a C-plus game. They should beat any of those teams pretty handily with the C-plus, B-minus game. They might be able to beat Rutgers with the same type of thing. At home, play a B-minus game, and, you know, maybe you win that one. At Maryland, who knows what that game is going to look like. I think Maryland's going to hit the reset button, and which players stay and which players go, what that team looks like next season, who knows. So that puts you at five. To get above that and to beat somebody like a Northwestern or a Michigan State or a Penn State or a Purdue next year in West Lafayette, you need a difference maker at quarterback. And until Indiana has one of those, which I think Michael Penix can be, and I hope he's the guy that can carry that and become that. But until that happens, nothing else matters.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the cornerstones next year, you hope that as good as Stevie Scott was this year, you hope that that running back rotation expands. You have Ronnie Walker, who had a couple highlights, didn't really do much late in the year, but had a couple highlights in the middle of the year and played well. You're going to hopefully bring in Samson James into that room. You get Cole Guest back, who, if we talk position changes, I think is a candidate to move out to slot receiver and replace Luke Timian and Jason Harris there and give you a little bit of an insurance policy on Wap Failure. He's a guy you could flex out and do so much with him. Hopefully he's getting back strong. And then you have Ivory Winters as well. So you have four guys there who could really be bell cows.
Ivory Winters is a guy that Mike Hart, who I think we have to trust as a talent evaluator at this point until he proves us otherwise. Ivory Winters is a guy that Mike Hart is very high on. And Indiana, you know, I sure hope Indiana holds on to both him and Samson James, because if they do, that's two guys that, you know, those are potential difference makers out of the backfield, just like Stevie Scott was this year.
Yeah, and you know, maybe Stevie Scott statistically doesn't have the same year as he does this year, but Indiana's rush offense is still 10th in the conference, and that needs to improve as well, and the explosive plays and all that stuff. And you hope Michael Penix, the quarterback, is that difference maker, and you hope he comes back from surgery and participate in spring ball, because that's the biggest thing. He needs the injury hurt, but what hurt the most was him missing out on reps the rest of the season, because I think that Penn State game, if he stayed healthy, he's playing more. And I think he showed them. I think that was the plan changed there to use him and maybe burn that redshirt year. Now, you do get the year back, but those reps are valuable. Hopefully he can participate in spring ball. Now, I don't think he's going to play in the spring game. I don't think he'll be open for contact. He can't risk it that early after surgery, but to be able to participate in 7-on-7 and the Skelly drills and getting on the same page as your receivers is going to be huge. And then hopefully be full by the summer and fall camp. And if you have to, the first two games, play him and Peyton Rand, put him on a pitch count, kind of like Northwestern did with Clayton Thorson at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
So he's ready for the meat of that season next year. But that's, you know, it's all until everybody recovers differently, until he sees the field. You know, who knows what he's going to look like in practice and all those things. So, you know, against Ball State and Eastern Illinois, the first two games of the year, and then Connecticut, you should play both. They both should play. And if you get up big against those teams, yeah, put the backup in and let them roll with it and move on, because you can't, like you said, we've seen this offense with Peyton Ramsey now for a full year after a couple games last year. And it's just, you're not going to win games scoring 25 points a game or whatever IU average this year. It's just not going to happen. So Indiana's got to hope then and hope that Michael Penix comes back healthy and in time to participate in spring ball. Doesn't have to be a full participation, but as long as he's throwing with those receivers, that'll help. And, you know, we'll see other attrition as well. There's always attrition. And so we'll see where we're back, who's back, what players are back. And then going into the December signing period, December 19th, what freshmen are coming in, how many early enrollees are coming in. There should be quite a few this year. How they help in spring ball and all that stuff. So there's still a lot to be determined about how this team will actually look next year. And it's just way too early to evaluate 2019 outside of, you know, the schedule, because the schedule's set. It's been set for a while, and you could take wild guesses on most of those and be pretty correct. But the off season is just getting started. It's going to be a crazy off season. Coaching carousels, you know, spinning at full speed. We'll see. I don't think Jeff Brohm was introduced at Louisville today. So we'll see what happens, because a couple so-called experts said that he was going to Louisville today. Today was November 26th, right? So, but he did not give an actual date. So we'll see. Rondale Moore said after the game that Jeff Brohm told him not to worry about Louisville and that Purdue was where he wanted to be. So we'll see where that goes, and the coaching searches at all levels and things like that. And we'll keep everybody updated. We're going to try and do, you know, a biweekly podcast to go over that type of national news, to go over the bowl game, and to keep talking about college football, because we love it, TJ. And we can't wait until Bill Connolly gets his preview started in February and all those things. So, it was just a really weird year. And my question to you, TJ, was the team that took the field against FIU improved, regressed, or stayed the same by the time this season ended?
I think it probably – I think it improved in a couple of areas. I think the offensive line got better by the end of the season. I think the offensive line, overall, I thought performed pretty well, given how many good defensive fronts they faced. I thought the offensive line improved and was pretty good by the end of the season, and had a couple of games where they were excellent against really good defenses. I thought that overall, though, you would have to say that the defense, I think, wore down, which makes sense with a lot of young players playing their first season of college football. That makes sense. I mean, it's understandable. But I think the defense wore down and got beat up a little bit. And I think that the offense really missed the explosiveness of someone like Wop Fillier or of a quarterback like Michael Penix. Overall, I think they probably stayed just about the same. You know, beating Maryland prevents me from saying that they regressed, because they hung on for that win and got that one in what was a highly entertaining game. And then they played very well against Michigan, really. So I think that prevents me from saying regressed, but it's pretty hard to say that they improved or got a lot better by the end of the season.
Yeah, that's I would end that same way. They didn't regress. They weren't worse than they were at the beginning of the season, but they certainly didn't get better. And that's almost as bad as regressing as just not improving. And
sure,
you know, we'll see and we'll see where they go from here. And it's a frustrating program to follow. For sure, but it's still, if you go back, it's Indiana in the last 4 years has had 22 wins, which it's probably one of the better runs in IU football history, which doesn't say a lot about Indiana football history, but you got to start somewhere. And next year, we said it at the beginning of this year was huge. Well, next year is big. You're now moving into the back half of Tom Allen's, after the year, you're moving into that back half of Tom Allen's contract. You expect there to be coaching changes, which is always a precursor to, you know, changes at the next level if they don't work out and things like that. So it's next year's crossroads. If you keep this class together, you have a pretty good class coming in. You have a full year of Michael Penix as long as he stays healthy. At quarterback, and you know, hopefully, you have some spiced up offense and some special teams to go along with the young players on defense. And you got to move on. You got to absolutely look. This year was a pass fail year. I'll give out grades like they weren't pass fail, but as a pass fail year, Indiana failed. They needed to get to a bowl game this year. They didn't do it. Changes are going to have to come now. So we'll see. Next year is going to be this year on steroids. It's going to be more important, especially with changes and things like that. So they gotta start, you know, finishing games and maybe you know, closing the locker room a little bit in terms of talk and just focusing on winning games. Just go out there, play football, and win games and give your best effort. Because if this team gave its best effort all year instead of just half the year or three quarters of the year, they're probably playing in a bowl game. And this team as a whole this season probably didn't deserve to go to a bowl game because they had letdowns at Minnesota. We're embarrassed on homecoming against Iowa and just the effort coming out, maybe not effort, but the performance against Purdue coming out of there. There was just too many like what's going on type of games for Indiana this year that if you get rid of the talk and the undisciplined play and the throat slashing after making a play, just, you know, to take Jeff Brohm at Purdue last year, just go play football. Go play football. Do what you're good at. And, you know, shut your mouths. Keep all that talk in the locker room. And go out and win games. And then you could talk about having, you know, the one word. And the one word is it's a great teaching tool in the locker room. It's a great teaching tool for life. It's great to have your one word. To set the tone for the year and to accomplish your goals and all that stuff, but don't build your program around it. Because now you're 0-2. You didn't break through in 2017, and you didn't finish in 2018. And it's great to have goals, and your goal is to ultimately break through. And I get that it's a mindset, but that's a mindset that's you got to keep it in the locker room now, and just put your head down and go to work. So that's my take on the 2018 Indiana Hoosiers.
I've got the one word for next year: win. Win. I don't care about style points against any of the three teams in the non-conference. I don't care about sure or anything like that. For me, 2019, they have to win. That is all that matters for 2019. You win, show progress on the field, and then I will buy in 100% to the future and to the continued building, because everything has gotten better. It has. The facilities have gotten better. Are they where they have to be? No, they're not, but they have gotten better. The recruiting has gotten better. Is it where it has to be? Nope, but it's getting better. It is improving. However, there's only so long that you can point to that improvement and still have it be something that matters to fans, and I think we're at that point. We are there. And at that point, like you said, it's a crossroads. You either win and show that progress on the field, or people tune it out and it is just chatter. That's it. I think that we are there now with this version of Indiana football. So for me, 2019 is about winning. You win on the field and we see those tangible results, or the rest of this stuff is just going to go by the wayside and be another, short tenure of chapter in Indiana football that ultimately didn't work. I desperately hope that that's not the case. I mean, I will openly admit I am a fan of Tom Allen, and I definitely want this to succeed. I 100% do. But even I, who am an optimist, and definitely see the best out of Indiana football, probably give it more benefit of the doubt than I should. I will have to admit, if 2019 is another year that we see just, treading water, I would have to at that point question, what the future needs to look like. So for me, I've put 2018 to bed, and I'm, looking forward to the bowl season and this week's championship Saturday. And then for Indiana football, they've got to either win in 2019 and get to that bowl game and show definite progress. But even if they don't get to a bowl game and 2019 just feels like a huge step forward, which is possible, I suppose. I don't want to set definite standards on it like that. Progress has to be shown. And if it's not, then, I think you have to look at all facets of the program. And like you said, it's going to start in the off season with getting guys healthy, getting guys participating in spring ball, and getting better from that standpoint. And then from a staff standpoint to show, hey, we recognize there are not, we don't have every answer here. We got to look elsewhere to find it and make those changes and build yourself towards competing in 2019, because, no one else in the Big Ten is going to sit by and just do nothing and be happy with five wins. I mean, Rutgers is somehow sticking with Chris Ash, which I am not entirely sure how you sell that to your fan base, but Rutgers is going to do that. Beyond that, everybody else is, continuing to try to move forward and get better. And Indiana's got to do the same. And I think that means the changes we talked about off the field have to translate to on-field results. Or I don't think anybody, or very few people anyway, will be willing to wait around for it to happen.
Yeah, it's not really a do or die situation next year, because I do think Tom Allen comes back in 2020 no matter what. But you're right.
Right.
If we're going down the highway that is Indiana football, that sign that says, we're passing whatever, one side is nobody cares, one side is you're excited. That sign's right in the middle of the car when you're across state lines and your brother sticks his hand out the window and says, oh, I'm in Ohio first or whatever, or I'm in New Jersey first. You're at that point. We're definitely at a crossroads. Some people are over the line onto being apathetic to the program. We saw it after the Minnesota loss. If you just look at the numbers on the site, after the Minnesota loss, you saw people didn't want to read about it, didn't want to talk about it and all that stuff. And that's how I gauge program interest. You saw the crowd against Maryland. And then when they beat Maryland, there's a slow uptick in interest again. So it's almost a game-by-game thing with fans' emotions and buy-ins and all that stuff. And no blame on the fan. It's just you're at the point where a win or a loss on either side could could push people over the edge and could push this yep. program into a black hole or back into the sunlight where it needs to be in terms of that. But, you know, it's going to be a tough road next year. You get Ohio State early as well in game three. You get have to go to Michigan State early before, you know, but you do get two bye weeks next year. So if you're a college football fan, you got two extra Saturdays to stay at home and watch games. And then you got road trips to Penn State, Nebraska, and at the end of the year, or between Maryland and Purdue, you have to go to Nebraska, play Northwestern at home, travel to Penn State, and face Michigan at home. So it's not going to be an easy task to get six wins next year. But if this team improves and evolves, that should definitely be on the table next year. But we have hit a crossroads, and we want to thank everybody who's listening and everybody who's listened all year long. We'll continue to bring you college football news. We are college football fans. We'll have our fan-driven shows. Send us in your questions. We'd love to talk college football, and it's going to be a crazy. Give me all your bowl games. Give me all your 74, 72, 7 overtime games. Give me all your 5-2 games or whatever, 3-2 games. Give me any college football game you know that people are willing to put on TV, and we'll talk about it. It's just something that we can't really get enough of and enjoy talking about it. So I want to thank you all for listening this year as well. And TJ, I want to thank you for being my co-host. Together, I have so much. I enjoy it so much. Just spending an hour each Monday talking IU football, talking college football, and hopefully in the off season we could do it every couple weeks and keep college football alive during these cold months. So thank you for being here in 2018.
Yep, I echo those sentiments, and certainly want to thank everyone for listening as well, and hope you stick with us through the off season. We'll get through it together, and before we know it, it'll be September again, and we'll kick it off for 2019. So definitely appreciate everybody, and enjoy the bowl season.
Yep, and that's going to do it for the 2018 regular season podcast. We'll have a bowl show and some other shows coming up as well, some off-season moves, and recruiting early signing day is December 19th. So that's coming up right around the corner. As TJ said, September will be here probably before we know it, but as somebody who's now teaching full-time, I do not want to wish away my summer. So I enjoy the summer months. I enjoy previewing the teams and all that, but thank you all for joining us this season. Come check out HoosierHuddle.com. The entire off-season as we cover Indy football. It's not really an off season. It's more like recruiting season and things like that. So enjoy the basketball season. Come back to Hoosier Huddle for your football fix. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle at Hoosier_Huddle. And we'll announce our bingo winners throughout the year here in the next week and get people the right prizes as well. From vintage brands. They still have a couple hours on their Cyber Monday sale, 30% off of everything. They have some other good deals as well. So enjoy bowl season for what it is. I really enjoy it. I know people think some people think it's a participation trophy, but I enjoy as much college football as possible. So thank you for joining us this season. I really appreciate your listening and your readership. And we'll be back here in the next couple weeks.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.